Hello again and good morning to all our listeners and watchers today. I'm Dennis Finnan, host and serving pastor teacher at A House for His Name located in Whitewater, Colorado. Now today in our biblical studies, we move to a new chapter in the book of Revelation. This chapter is different from all the others as it is a parenthesis in the timing of the seven-year tribulation. Yes, chapter 8 represents a pause in God's work to judge the earth. Now at this point, as chapter 8 opens, the sealed judgments of the storm of God's judgment have passed, but the worst of judgments still lie ahead. So God led John to record what he saw following the sixth seal's worldwide mayhem, but before the seventh seal is broken. Now John receives two new visions that corrects the logical impression that no one would survive the pandemonium of punishments falling on the earth. And yet we'll see today that God will deliver two groups of people in the tribulation period. In fact, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24, verse 14. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So before we enter our text and see this mercy of God in action in the midst of judgment, let's listen once again to the scriptures dramatically read for us, and then we'll pray, and then I'll exposit the text.
Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we study the Holy Scriptures to see what the future holds for humanity, we pray that today's message will greatly disturb us as believers to see what God will spare us from in our future. Help everyone listening or watching to take heed to see your specific message in today's study, which spans the ages and zeroes in even in our living today in the 21st century. Lastly, in our opening prayer, may anyone listening who doesn't know you, Lord Jesus, as their great God and only Savior, may they openly see you clearly and surrender their lives to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior God and absolute master of their world and eternity. Oh yes, Lord, may they believe and be saved just as we are. And so may all these things we ask be done in the wonderful name of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, today, as we look at the book of Revelation, it helps us to understand this time of silence in heaven, as our God and Father prepares to unleash yet another series of judgments upon the fallen world. So we'll look at three main points with subpoints, and I have it before you on the screen. The first thing we'll look at is an absolute silence, verses 1 and 2. There's awe and anticipation, and there will be activity and announcement. The second thing in verses 3 and 4 will be an audience with the saints. The saints' prayers answered and the Savior's preparation advances. And then verses 5 and 6, as an advance summary, a firestorm bursts forth and a fury to begin follows. All right, today we see that for the Apostle John the moment had arrived. It was time for the resurrected and living Christ, the Lamb of God, the creator of the world himself, to open the seventh final seal judgment on the scroll. Now this seal, unlike the others, intriguingly has no particular judgment flowing forth from it, but rather It opens the future beginning moment of time to unleash another series of seven judgments against the earth and the arrogant, unsaved world of humanity. Here's a chart we can look at that shows the telescopic judgments of the Revelation. This second series of judgments that is coming is called the seven trumpet judgments I have circled on the screen. This group follows the completed seven seal judgments. And you can see the trumpets all follow the seven seal opening. And following at the seventh trumpet, they will open the seven vial or bowl judgments, and they'll begin to pour out. And when all 21 judgments are completed, the kingdom of mankind, the age of the Gentiles, will be over. And Christ the Lord, with the church and all the other saints and angels, he will triumphantly descend to the earth's surface to set up his earthly millennial kingdom. Here's another good chart to show the flow of the seven seals, and we're studying these today. Note the seventh seal is paused as God saves 144,000 Jewish evangelists to go out into the world, which we studied last week, and they will proclaim Christ the Savior and Lord to all who will hear and surrender to his saving lordship. And following their calling and being sealed by the Holy Spirit in the faith, before the seventh seal is opened, there's a silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And this, my friends, is what we will explore today. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. The verse of chapter 8 introduces us to something new, as I said, a silence of awe and anticipation at the grim reality of the judgments that already had passed and the judgments that will be about to be unleashed. And this great silence hushed the loud, tumultuous rejoicing and voices and songs of heaven, which were in chapter 7, and silenced all for what John says is about 30 minutes. I think this is a literal time, as John surmised, and the period of silence is significant. As the seventh seal opened, the saints in heaven and the angels expected some cataclysmic or some other gigantic heavenly manifestation of judgment to instantly break forth. But no, God perhaps raises his hand and all are silenced. And certainly this silence was the lull before the storm of God's increasingly intensified judgments, which surely were about to be unhurled against the earth. We read of this prophesied in the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, verse 7 of chapter 1, and verses 14 and 15. I'll read them as I put them on the screen. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The great day of the Lord is near and coming quickly. Listen, he cried. The cry of the day of the Lord will be bitter. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, and a day of clouds and blackness. And, of course, during the silence, seven angels, I believe these may be archangels, we're not sure, for the term given means stand before God. In the Greek, it could refer to first place of standing in the presence of God. And from the phrase comes the term known as archangels. Arch, of course, means first. So these seven firsts may well be archangels who stand before God. And if so, who are they? Well, we only know two, of course. Jewish tradition identifies the names of all these, but we'll stick with the Bible, which alone identifies only two. The first is Michael. He is one of the first ones, or the archangel, Jude 1, verse 9. And then there's Gabriel in Luke 1, verse 19, who also stands in the presence of God. The other five, well, they're not named, and so we'll stick with that as well. Now, speaking of trumpet sounds in the Bible, let me move the slides here. According to Numbers 10, trumpets had three important uses in the Old Testament. Trumpets gathered people together, and announced special journey departures. Trumpets announced danger in war. And the third is trumpets announced special times of worship and sacrifice. Now specifically, for instance, an angel sounded a trumpet at Mount Sinai when the law was given in Exodus 19, verses 16 to 19. And also trumpets were blown when a king was anointed and enthroned, 1 Kings 1, 34 and 39. And of course, everyone's familiar with the Old Testament would remember trumpets were blown at the judgment of Jericho in Joshua 6, verses 13 to 16, which brought about the city's destruction. In any case, these seven angels are granted the privilege of sounding seven mighty trumpets, which will signal the unleashing of a series of unprecedented physical judgments on the earth. Now, it's important to make a prophetical distinction. These seven trumpets are not, however, the same as the trumpet call of God found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Here, the last trumpet of the church is not the last trumpet ever to be sounded in history, because seven trumpets blown by angels will signify great catastrophes God will pour out in judgment on the earth. Later we find a loud trumpet call in Matthew 24, verse 31, and it reads, "And he, speaking of Christ, will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other." In other words, all over the entire earth. And this will be the gathering of all the surviving living saints at the end of the tribulation, who will be allowed and called to enter Christ's brand new refurbished, I guess you could call it, earth and millennial kingdom. Well, let's get back to Revelation. Here again, we see an altar. And another angel who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. Now this leads me to believe that this is an actual place in heaven's throne room where offerings were placed before God. The earthly altars that John knew of the Jewish people were symbolic of what was in heaven. Now, the offerings here, we're told, were the prayers of all God's people. Unfortunately, this has caused much confusion among interpreters. For the Catholic Church in particular, it means special anointed saints in heaven place our prayers on God's altar. Is this true? I like what Warren Wiersbe writes. He says, "The prayers of the saints are not the prayers of a special group of people in heaven who have arrived at special sainthood. To begin with, all God's children are saints," he said, "set apart from God, for God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no teaching in the scriptures that people in heaven pray for believers on earth, or that we can or should direct our prayers to God through them." Wow, that's well said indeed. And indeed, the Catholic Church is found on this false premise that special saints hear our prayers, and only through them and the Virgin Mary will Christ hear and respond to us. Officially, I looked through Catholic papers and I found that the Catholic Church has anointed somewhere between 810 to upwards of 10,000 men and women in heaven who are able to hear our prayers and then place them at the feet of the Virgin Mary, who alone speaks to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, I find this totally abhorrent and blasphemous. Why? Because we're told in the Bible specifically, every saint that is a true believer has direct access to God when we pray and he hears us. Let me put some scripture on the screen for you. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, that is the man Christ Jesus." And Peter wrote in one of his epistles, his first, at chapter 3, verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." Thank God we don't have to go through anyone to hear our prayers to be answered. So these prayers of God's people went up before God, and it was in the angel's hand. Now, verses 3 and 4, we see the Savior's preparation advances. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. So what do we make of this? Well, these are the specific prayers of probably the martyred saints who are already in heaven, and the multitudes still on earth to come who will be martyred in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And all their prayers combined, asking for justice and vindication of their faith given in death on earth at the hands of these ungodly killers, is what comes before God. Now let's look at verse 5. "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth, and there came out peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake." Well, as the Lamb of God heard the prayers of the tribulation's saintly martyrs and suffering believers on earth for the final time, God's anger finally breaks forth. And such prayer that can produce such a response truly must be potent indeed. So the silence ends. The angel hurled this censer to the earth, symbolizing the judgment of God about to be released on earth, showing it will be in answer to the tribulation saints' prayers for justice. And it was against those who oppressed and killed them. Yes, these coals of fire, representative of judgment, produced symbols of catastrophe, which were thunder and lightning and earthquake. And so this is the preliminary rumblings of what further judgments the earth would experience by the violence of the seven trumpet judgments to come. Yes, great upheavals will soon take place, and every ear on earth will hear, and every eye will see even more, that the worldwide thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes will be what God produces for the lost. Now, verse 6. "Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them." So, this is a shorter message, of course, but lastly for today, the angels who had apparently been waiting in readiness with their trumpets and their judgments for half an hour as John watched, now they were ready to proclaim what was about to come. Suddenly, they were given the signal by the thundering, the lightning, and earthquakes that the time had come to unleash the seven trumpet judgments. Well, indeed, the world had rejected Jesus' sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, and now they would be judged from the altar of God. So these angels prepared themselves, and the sound of their trumpets would not be an uncertain sound when it came, but heard in the universe, everywhere, and worldwide. Can you imagine the earth hearing this trumpet blast before these judgments fell on the earth? This pictures the ominous anticipation. Indeed, the same God who destroyed the world in Noah's day and sent fiery brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah also sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, John 3:16. And in short, God reveals his love for the human race in a well-documented balance between justice and mercy. Bible history proves that God is long-suffering. He extends mercy to sinners day after day, year after year, even right now. Maybe you're listening and you're not yet saved. You are at the point of God's mercy. until the day comes when extended mercy and long-suffering of sinners will run out. And then God justifiably will respond to you and all the world in wrath to deal with defiant human rebellion. The angels with the trumpets blow will trigger the most tremendous physical upheavals experienced by the earth since the great flood. But we'll stop here, for next week we'll call forth the seven trumpet judgments and a series of God's plagues on God's enemies. And these judgments will affect every part of the world, the earth, the sky, the sea, the rivers and lakes, and more, my friend, the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. But until then, let's close with some applications that'll be helpful for everyone. First of all, knowing that God hears and will answer every prayer in His time, especially the ones that call for vindication and righteousness to be accomplished, can we not bear any injustices of life today in anticipation of that great goodness of God in the future? Here's the second thing for believers. It's an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as all the unsaved people will find in the tribulation period. So, are you, my friend, concerned enough to talk to them, that is the lost now, about the seriousness of repentance toward Jesus Christ? Oh, they may not like to hear you speak. Some may be angry at you. But so what? They still need to hear, and you, my friend, as a believer, are God's witness. And lastly, in this message today, gaining all this knowledge of the future, which we're doing, and that you will be spared of it because you're a believer, what will it do to make you a better Christian and a good servant of God? Remember, Jesus himself said while still on the earth in the days of his flesh, he said in Luke 12:49-51, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and oh, how I wished it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it's completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, Jesus said, I tell you, but division. Yes, Jesus' fiery baptism at the cross has divided men into two great divisions. They're very simple. The saved and the lost. My friend, which one are you in? Are you really sure? You can be sure if you fully surrender your life today and all you have to make Jesus Christ your God and only Savior from your sins. The Bible says, now is the day of accepted salvation. Now is the accepted time. Turn to Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we consider the wrath of God that begins to be poured out on the earth to come, may anyone listening who does not personally know Jesus Christ in their heart and soul, oh, may they cry out now for Christ to save them, and He will. Studying these verses today shows us how much we as Christians will be spared of the terrible wrath of God that will explode in the coming day of the Lord. Oh God, help us to respect You evermore greatly, in Your words and in our actions of life and in our desire to serve You as our great and awesome God and King. Lord Jesus, most holy God of gods, may Your glory shine through us to show the unsaved world Your greatness, Your mercy, Your grace, and may others ask the reason of the hope that is in us, that we might share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ that has saved us and can save them. And so lastly, I pray on behalf of all that this message from Your word going out into the electronic media, that it will reach lost souls wherever You send it, and they will turn to Christ now and be saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Lord, may there be no one here today who's listened to this message who can stand aloof from Your call, as or Your grace, or Your mercy. And we ask that these things will be accomplished in the most wonderful and lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King of kings and our Lord of lords. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. All right, my friends, we'll see you next week. Join us again for another look as we open up the trumpet judgments that will be coming in Revelation.